Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to the Big Footy Women's AFL podcast. Yet again, still with no women on it. Peter could be wearing a dress. I doubt it, but he might be. Who knows in this modern era. Peter, welcome to the podcast again.
I can assure you, no dress here, but at home I can say in the comfortable tracky dacks in this cold winter's night.
Yeah, no, it's freezing over here at the moment. Just straight into the news, I guess, mate. And there's been a few, bits and pieces occurring around the women's football spectrum at the moment. First off, though, big controversy at Adelaide Oval, where women's footy is concerned. Tell me a bit about that, mate.
Yeah, it all built up from one social media post, and then it, at least in South Australia, caught fire. Essentially, what had happened was on Saturday night, the South Australians took on a Northern Territory side. South Australia and NT have a partnership going where they'll form the Crows women's side next year. So for them, it was more like of a trial game, and some were going to be obviously selected for SA to play New South Wales this week. So an important game for them. I was on social media during that time. I kept an eye on the game and I was reporting on results. And we posted on the Girls Play Footy Facebook page on Saturday night a few photos of the game and the final result. And then in the comments section, a couple of spectators from the game posted their photos, including that they were talking about how they were disappointed that while the game was going on, the Adelaide Crows players came out. Now, this wasn't their official warm-up. This is what you call their just kick-to-kick friendly warm-up when they walk out on the ground, and decided to, not on just the boundary line like the advertisers trying to paint it as, they actually walked out physically onto the ground, 20, 30, 40 metres, including one photo, I think they were only like 40 metres away from play, and decided just to do kick-to-kick on the ground. This is not at three-quarter time. This is while the game is still in progress. And, you know, the women aren't playing on a small size field. They're playing the full football field because this is a serious game for them. And, social media, the people were not happy about it that were at the game that witnessed it. They thought it was disrespectful. We obviously took a few quotes. We put the story together with the photos. And just to put things in perspective, normally on Girls Play Footy, the average story for us might get between 1,500 to 2,500 views. A really good story for us is between 4,000 to 5,000 views. As of Wednesday night, the 1st of June, the article's been viewed nearly 58,000 times. And the comment section on our Facebook has just exploded. Several hundred comments, several hundred shares of people just virtually just going to the Crows. A, how disrespectful it was for the handful of the players just to casually walk out on the ground and do the kick-to-kick while the game was underway. But also at the same time, after the Crows responded to our article a few hours later and said, oh, there was some confusion. I think everyone said, well, there's no confusion. There's a game on. And they're all angry that so far the two statements that the Crows have made, one to us and one to the Age, that the Crows actually haven't said, you know, sorry. Like Elton John says, for them, sorry seems to be the hardest word.
It does seem to beg your belief that they could not notice a game in progress.
Well, it was laughable. The statement that they apparently made to The Age, and Lewis and Nicholson reported at The Age, was, I think in one statement they said, oh, they didn't know a game was on. And we're like, hang on, they're paid professional footballers. I'm pretty sure they know what a football match looks like. There's umpires running around, blowing the whistle, people kicking the football. I think, you know, a game is on. And no, they decided to kick the ball. They decided to kick the ball on the wing. As I said, we picked up the article at over 24 hours, over 50,000 views. The story was picked up by Caroline Wilson, who mentioned it late on Footy Classified on Monday night. It was run by Larissa Nicholson at The Age. It was aired on Channel 9 News Adelaide. Most disturbing from the Channel 9 News Adelaide report at the end, Channel 9 actually wanted to ask the female players that played in the game for their opinion, obviously if they felt it was disrespectful, and all players were told that they were not to speak to the media, that all inquiries must go through the Adelaide Football Club. So this is even more disturbing that, you know, if women feel they've been disrespected, they're not even allowed to talk about it. They're being gagged already. I mean, this is a worrying sign heading into the Women's League next year.
Now, there's been apparently there was a game on the weekend as well. How did that go, Peter?
Oh, that was the last weekend you're probably referring to, the Melbourne Demons versus Brisbane Lions game. The first one also to have the new trial rules. I'll talk on the game first before the rules, but the game was like a 71-point win in the end to Melbourne over the Brisbane Lions. So essentially that was like a half-strength Victorian side versus a near-full-strength Queensland team. So it was quite surprising to see how it was one-sided, but we were told by some of the players that some of them were played out of position in the game anyway, such as Taylor Harris was down back instead of normally being in the ruck or up forward for the Lions. Daisy Pearce as well, who'd normally be in the centre of the ground on the ball, was actually moved to around half forward. So they obviously were trying a few things. Jess Cameron, the Southern Stars cricketer, now playing at Diamond Creek, kicked 6 goals, and that is so far a record in the women's game at the AFL exhibition match level. It's the highest amount kicked by an individual. She kicked 6 goals simply because she was getting quality delivery from the likes of the Melbourne Uni Muggers midfield Brooke Lachlan and Ali Blackburn. Elise O'Day was again another star for the side. Daisy Pearce again picked up nearly 20 possessions, just wandering around the half forward line. On the line side of thing, not so many good stories. Probably the only good standout for them was Selena Goodman in the ruck with 30 hitouts for the match. So she clearly dominated there. I think the next nearest was 11 for Kate Gillespie-Jones. So in that game, a comfortable win to Melbourne. And for Mish Cohen in the coach's box, she didn't physically coach the game against the Bulldogs in March. So for the games where she's been at the helm as a women's coach, she hasn't been beaten since, I think, 2014. So she's something like a 4-year winning streak at the moment.
That's quite impressive. Now, they tell me the women aren't necessarily all that impressed with the rule changes that are coming in.
Yes, the new trial rules have been something that has been an absolute hot potato. They were kind of flagged a month or so ago. Then about a week out from the game, they said they were going to do it. And it's been commented on the Trailblazers podcast that the AFL puts out by Alicia Eva and Phoebe McWilliams. Obviously, they said they understand what the AFL is trying to do and break up congestion. And Alicia has helped coach at TAC Cup level. And she talks about how some of the rules, like the philosophy around having two forwards and stay in the forward 50, she said that, you know, they've been trialing it there to try and break up congestion. But she said, in a personal perspective, same with Phoebe, they said they're not really in favour of the new rules, as in a perspective of they want to play the same rules that the men play. So, for example, if those rules were implemented in the men's match, I think maybe they might swallow it because, okay, the men are playing those rules, will play the same rules. And I think that's what the women are disappointed about, that they don't want to be playing a game where there is different rules per se to the men. They're not too fussed about, A, the size of the football. They actually do play with a smaller football. Men play with a size 6, Sharon. Women play with a size 4.5. And also, as well, they're used to playing games with no time on. Most competitions play straight 20s in the women's level, excluding the VFL women who play straight 25s. They don't seem to be fussed about a straight 20. Yeah, about rules such as the last touch out of bounds and two forwards having to stay inside their 50, they're not pleased. They weren't particularly pleased, but I can tell you before the game on social media, a number of the players who play for the Western Bulldogs team, that's the female team, they were absolutely furious when it saw it come out. I won't name names. I know quite a few of them, and the language from them was they were just angry, angry, angry. And I think someone else posted on Big Footy from WA saying that they go, the women are saying that they're disappointed. He goes, at club level, he goes, I can assure you, the language is a lot more colourful.
It does seem a little odd that they'd be trying to take players from other sports in while trying to turn the sport into netball itself, really, doesn't it?
Well, that's one funny thing. When the rule was mentioned about having to stay inside your 50, I think one of the key players said, what, do they want me to wear a bib when I run out there, kinning to netball? And from what Alicia Eva told us, said this kind of rule or philosophy is used in the TAC Cup. They said there's not an absolute strict rule to it, so it's not like if you step outside your 50, the umpire will blow a whistle against you. Because they said for the umpires, it's actually hard for them to be able to a judge who's a forward and who's supposed to be in, who's supposed to be out. But they said it's more like they're telling the coaches to try and do that. But still, at the same time, they said they're not happy with it. Phoebe McWeans brought up the interesting thing of, well, what's a forward to do if your defender runs off of you and you're one of the last two and you're 50? Do you have to stay where you are? Or can you follow your defender? So, you know, there's some good points being brought up there. They talked about congestion, but this congestion in women's football thing is a myth from the AFL. I know that they're talking about saying, oh, you know, we've introduced this rule at sample level and percentages are up here, there, and, you know, and so forth. But if anyone actually goes along and sees some of the better women's football matches, particularly like at VFL Women's, which is the premier state competition in the country, you'll see some games where they're playing the same rules as men's footy and the game is perfectly fine and, in fact, very entertaining.
Before we move on to the games that are coming up, there's been a few matches so far. How are you seeing the talent stocks at the moment?
Yeah, I know that I know that there's a debate at the moment between the 8 or 10 teams, and a few are arguing about that. I know because of the strength of the bids, they're hoping for 10. I know the players are trying to dampen it down a bit and to say, look, you know, can we stick to 8? Because I know the players originally only wanted 6. And at the moment, you know, 8 looks like to be the number. If I look at the playing stocks, yes, Victoria looks like it could definitely field 2 teams. I reckon Victoria could field 3, maybe 3 teams at a stretch. I do feel that once you start now to get to that 4th, 5th, or heaven forbid, even 6th Victorian team, you're really starting to, you know, starting to expose your talent. Because, you know, you've got your extremely elite footballers, you're very good footballers, you're good footballers, and to be honest, there are a handful of passengers that have been playing in these games. We get to have a really good look this Sunday when South Australia play in New South Wales. They're two of the weaker states. You call them Division 2 states. South Australia's always had a traditionally weak women's competition where Morpheville and West Adelaide have run riot over it, and, you know, they're a bit behind the eight ball. They're having to build up numbers. New South Wales ACT, by theory, is actually a stronger competition than South Australia. So it's funny when they're talking about saying, oh, should we have a second WA team and drop New South Wales ACT? New South Wales ACT's comp's actually pretty good. So and they've actually got 2 divisions. Which, you know, Queensland's stronger. It's only got 1 division. So it says a lot for the Sydney comp. But I think the real genuine look at the talent will be this weekend, because SA and New South Wales, the 2 weaker states, and then WA as a full-strength side taking on the Western Bulldogs, which is a half-strength Victorian team. That's when we get the real insight.
Because the common school of thought is that a full-strength WA side should beat pretty much any other team, really, isn't it?
Yeah, because they beat the Victorians over at Subi last year for the first time in 17 years, first time ever, in fact. So we get to have a real good look. I mean, they've got a star-studded forward line at the Bulldogs, but they've started to bring in a couple of experienced defenders to try and help out. Their ruck stocks, I feel, maybe a little weak on the wings. So they're up against a WA side that's, again, chock-a-block full of class. That, again, is missing players. They're out, like, with injuries like Tia Hayes and also missing Kirby Bentley out through with injury, missing Hayley Miller as well. You know, you've got a handful of those class players that you could even add to that side and strengthen it even more. So, you know, as I said, you know, if WA and the Bulldogs run it close, then yeah, maybe one WA side. But if WA come out and smash the Bulldogs, well then, you know, then the arguments are split into 2. And again, it'll be interesting to see what WA's philosophy is. It will be like how, for Queensland, as the Brisbane Lions, they just mix players around just for the sake of the exhibition game? Or is there a agenda at the back of the head of, let's go out there and really smash the Bulldogs to push our case, to say, look, we do have to be broken into as an Eagles and Fremantle side?
Okay. Girls Play Footy is covering the VWFL this weekend.
Yeah, we're covering the VFL women's game. We're covering the match between the Geelong Magpies and Seaford Tigerettes at the neutral venue of Piranha Park, Coburg City Oval in Coburg. Okay. I know, it's, you know, you're kind of scratching. I know there's VFL curtain raisers that they're having, and some make sense. I know Seaford's going to have one game at Sandringham, which is nearby, and I think another at Frankston, so that makes sense. And Geelong's having one. Well, Geelong's already had one at Simmons Stadium. But the one at Coburg has us all scratching our heads going, look, I know that in the VFL beforehand. It's a curtain closer, this match, by the way. The VFL beforehand, it's a Channel 7 game between a Coburg and the Richmond Tigers. So are they trying to get Tiger supporters from Richmond to stick around and cheer for the Seaford Tigerettes? It's a bit puzzling, but there is surprisingly history between these two sides and this particular ground. Seaford and Geelong have had some great, when they were known as North Geelong, had some great battles in Division 2, some unbelievable battles in Division 1, including the Division 2 grand final at Coburg, at that ground 2 years ago, where Seaford were up, then in the third quarter, the Magpies turned it around, got a lead out to something like 4 goals, looked like they had it iced. Seaford came roaring back, and unfortunately the no time on in rule football came to haunt them, because there was 30 seconds to go, Seaford down by 7 points with the wind, kicked a goal with 30 seconds to go, but because of no time on, by the time the ball was retrieved from out the back and given to the boundary umpire, and the boundary umpire got back to the field umpire, the 30 seconds had expired and it was full time. They lost by a point.
Cool. So all that, all the action from this weekend being covered there at girlsplayfooty.com.
2 o'clock Sunday.
No worries.
And of course, as for those that want to catch the two women's exhibition matches, I should point out SA and versus New South Wales ACT Sunday at the Adelaide Oval. It is 12:35 p.m. local time, so 1:05 p.m. on the Eastern Seaboard. That game is actually being shown on Fox Sports, Fox Sports 3, so that's Channel 503. You can watch that game. And the game between WA and the Western Bulldogs, which starts at 12:40 p.m. Melbourne time, that game is being covered by Croc Media. So obviously via the AFL website or the AFL app, you can follow that game.
And did you catch Holly Ransom on TAC Superstars the other day?
Yeah, I did catch a little bit of that interview. In fact, via Twitter, I've actually tried to direct message Holly to see if I can get her to come on the Girls Play Footy podcast. I haven't heard back in about a week from Holly yet, so I'll have to try through some avenues to see if we can get her to have a chat. But it was interesting. There was quite a bit about her and her role at Port Adelaide. But if I do get to have a chat with her, obviously I'd be wanting to chat with obviously what Port Adelaide are doing in the women's game, because they're not bidding for a license, but they're talking about helping at junior level. So talking about what they're doing there at grassroots, and also be interested to hear from her how she sees the women's game going forward, considering she's a member of this women's football advisory group.
Okay, well, TAC Future Stars, they run a segment on women's footy every Sunday morning now, and you can catch that on Sundays on Channel 9. Thanks, Peter, for another in-depth look at women's footy.
And of course, it's always a pleasure, and we want more women talking to you on this podcast, not just me. And if they're looking to find you on Big Footy, how can they reach you?
They can contact me on the Wookiee at Big Footy, so I would think anyone that listens to a podcast will know who I am by now.
Click on your name and send a direct message. Simple as that.
Yeah, I don't want to talk to Peter all the time. Not that he's a bad bloke, but, you know.
You can only stand Essendon supporters for so long.
Well, there is that. There is that. Thanks very much, Peter.